Will Donald Trump be the Republican standard bearer in November 2016? This is Brian King on the left.
Will Brian King stop swearing in 2016?
No.
Dan McKay on the far right.
I want to welcome to office Mayor Jackie Biskupski, a new mayor in Utah's capital city. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm Natalie Gochner. But first, this news. I'm Natalie Gochner. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. I represent the political center, and I'm joined on the political right by Representative Dan McKay.
Hey, everybody.
And on the political left by House Minority Leader... Oh, sorry. House Minority Leader, Brian King.
That's right.
I was going to do Senate Minority Leader.
Well, thank you for having me.
I know that's not elevating, because you like being in the House,
oh,
right?
Look, yeah. Don't put me down. It's the House that's
on top. We want to be in the House.
Here. Absolutely.
I want to start out the program today by talking about Mayor Jackie Biskupski coming into office and what this means for our city and what's different. How are you guys seeing this? It's done. It's here.
No, it's a great
thing. We've got a new mayor of our capital city.
I think it's a great thing. I think Jackie will be, of course, I worked with her. Dan and I both worked with her in the legislature. And I think she's very smart. She's pragmatic. She's a problem solver. She has good relationships with people on both sides of the aisle. She knows how to work across the aisle. I think we're going in for some good things in Salt Lake City.
Dan, something I was happy about, and I don't know if you followed this or watched it, but she's announced a lot of her senior staff positions, some familiar names in there, some county leaders in Patrick Leary, David Litvak, someone you two both know, a former legislator, Holly Mullen.
Reporter,
that's a smart move. And former columnist for the Salt Lake Tribune comes over from the Rape
She's
Recovery
got a
Center.
Lot of. She's surrounding herself with strong people, I think, and they're not just like yes people. Yeah. Like I don't know. I mean, I love David Litvak for lots of reasons, but I've never known him to be whatever you say, let's do it.
No, he's going to do the right thing for the right reasons.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, I had this funny experience where I went to her website just to get to know her a little bit better, and I went to the issues tab. That sounds like me, doesn't it? You know, I'm not interested in all the other stuff. I want to see the issues. And it started out with arts, and then it went to bike, and then it went to dogs. And I'm kind of like, this is certainly Salt Lake City, if that's what they're highlighting. Then I realized it was in alphabetical order.
Well,
education came and public safety came.
I went and listened to her yesterday when she was inaugurated. And three of the top issues, the top issue, the thing that she spent the most time on, the first issue that she talked about was air, clean air, which I thought was interesting, gratifying, good thing. She talked about economic development, east side versus west side issues, and she talked about the homeless issue. They weren't the only things she talked about, but I think those were the top three that she talked about.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, we have other political news, and let's go over to sort of the – let's go to the big house, Capitol Hill, and running for governor. And we'll talk about Governor Herbert and some others in a minute, but I want to talk about Representative Chaffetz, Jason Chaffetz, who in an interview starts to say, you know, actually when I'm done here, my time in the House of Representatives, I want to be governor of Utah.
Yeah, but is that a – I mean, I'm impressed by how many people are interested in by the story, but is anyone surprised?
Yeah.
I'm dying of not surprised.
Here's why I'm surprised.
Well, because you've heard that he wants to be speaker and
he
wants to be senator.
No, that's why I'm surprised. And that is – I think this shift from a focus on stuff going on at the federal level to the state level is sort of interesting. I wouldn't expect it from Representative Chaffetz in the first place, number one. But number two, I wouldn't really expect it from any federal elected from Utah. And that's because we traditionally see – you know, the place to be is D.C. if you want to see things happen. And I think we're seeing a bit of a shift, and part of it is due to the hyperpartisan nature of what's going on in D.C. and the gridlock that we see back there and the lack of productivity. But I think we're seeing a shift to the feeling that more is happening that's worthwhile, that affects people's lives in a positive or negative way at the state level, which is a good thing.
Yeah, as much as you guys love the states' rights movement, you know, because we push it so hard in the Republican agenda in the House. And you know, the minority leader is there on many issues and not there on some. That being said, I think it's pretty easy. If you have a choice of coming home every night to your family, to your wife, to your kids, and being a governor, or going to D.C. and spending 3-4 nights a week back in D.C. and having a bifurcated life where you go back and forth with this travel schedule.
Well, and not being able
to be governor all day long.
Yeah, well, and not being able to accomplish much.
And in some ways, we're kind of getting our ahead of ourselves talking about it. I don't think this would be until 2020 or something, right? But it's interesting. I mean, I think we should remind ourselves, and it's similar to your point, Dan, that when you're governor, you are you know, you have a staff of like, I don't know, 20,000 people. Is that about how many state employees there are?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
compared to like when you're back in the house and you've got 12 or something.
Yeah, you're the king of the hill.
And you have a mansion. You're a ward of the state. The state buys your groceries for you, if you don't know that. And of course, you know, you're driven around. You have the big car.
Yeah,
security detail.
I just think those are secondary, like little trinkets, really, as part of the office. That's how I like to think of them. But this working at home or working far away, anybody who's had a job that requires a lot of travel knows I'd rather be home every night in my own bed. At least that's my. Yeah. And I think Chaffetz is motivated the same way.
Before we leave this topic, tell us how this mixes up some of the calculus and thinking on the Republican side of the aisle in the governor's kind of world, because. Jason Chaffetz would be a formidable candidate.
Doesn't change anything at all. It does not change one thing. You have a lot of ambitious people who want to be in charge
and
of something.
And they'll still try.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I mean, it should BYU not throw the 50, you know, the 50-yard bomb into the end zone just in case someone catches it? No, you go for it. And that's why I think these ambitious guys will go for it.
Since we're still on the Utah, let's come back to the present. This year, I don't want to talk about count my vote and signatures yet. We'll save that for the second segment. But tell us, Brian, what your thinking is about who will challenge Governor Herbert from the D side. I know you won't tell us, but what can our listeners know?
I won't tell you. I know I've had confirmed that we're going to have a great, great gubernatorial candidate.
I'm waiting for Dan to jump in on that because Kim's been saying that for a while.
This is an individual with business leadership and business experience. It's an individual who has his pulse on the has his finger on the pulse of what's going on in Utah. I think it's going to be somebody who's really attractive to a lot of folks.
Competitive?
I think so.
Mm.
We get a grunt. Dan,
you're not buying it, Dan. Mm. I can see the look on your face.
No.
Our listeners can't, but you're not buying it.
No. Well, and I was going to go look because this was somebody actually registered to run as a Democrat.
Already Von Cook.
Yeah, was it Von Cook?
Von Cook.
Yeah,
the former Utah County Democratic Party chair has not registered because nobody's
but
he's registered
intent to gather signatures.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Which is interesting because, and this is Natalie, as you remember in our previous show, everyone says, "Well, what's this going to do to the Republican Party?" I said, "Wait a minute, you guys are all focused on the Republican Party. What's this going to do to the Democratic Party?" Because I think that's where it's more interesting. Democrats do a much better job of eliminating the competition at convention so they're not beating each other up over the summer. When was the last time there was a high-profile Democratic primary? Hmm. Very rare. And here we are.
Jim Matheson and Claudia Wright, to answer your question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, high-profile with a chance of winning. Okay, I should have added the chance of winning. Because Jim Matheson was going to win that
laying down
in his sleep.
Gary
with no
Herbert's
going to
beat Jonathan Johnson. Come on.
Yeah.
Don't you think, Dan?
I want to talk about Jonathan Johnson and signatures, but let's save it for the second segment. Tell me just real quickly, anything new on the presidential race you guys are tracking?
Oh, listen, I love this.
He gets a
Republican
smile on
presidential
his face.
Race is so fun. Dan, tell me that you guys are going to have Donald Trump at the top of the ticket. Please tell me you're going to have Donald Trump at the top of the ticket.
See,
I actually think it's going to be Ted Cruz. I've been saying that. I said that publicly. Yeah. Ted Cruz is the person I picked to emerge.
I will tell you, if Ted Cruz is the top ticket, I will be voting for Hillary Clinton.
Well, I think a lot of people feel that way.
Really?
I would. Yeah. Hmm. I saw his one YouTube video where he takes bacon and puts it around a machine gun and cooks it.
You're saying.
Why do you hate bacon? Why do you hate bacon, Natalie? You've just gone a long way toward making endearing Ted Cruz to me.
The posturing towards extremism just throws me off. I'm a
middle. Okay, but
He wanted to cook bacon. You know, he was showing his enthusiasm for guns by cooking bacon on the whatever you call
it. But you're taking the same weakness that makes the Republican Party weak. Is if somebody is the candidate is too centrist, the far right is leaving and they're not going to vote that year. Here we are in the same situation. I'm saying, please, centrist Republicans, stay home.
Yeah.
Listen to that's what happened in the Reagan races. That's what happened in the Goldwater races a long time ago. Stay home.
I'm looking for a better candidate than Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
You're listening to both sides of the aisle.
Brian King for Republican nominee.
No.
I'm Natalie Gochner. I'm joined by Representative Dan McKay and by Representative Brian King. In our next segment, we're going to talk about Count My Vote and what it means for signature gathering, which has started in this state.
I'm Brian King on the left.
I'm Dan McKay, and I'm right.
Natalie Gochner in the Political Center, and I'm right, too. This is both sides of the aisle. I want to talk.
You're right.
I'm right, too.
Oh, I like it.
I want to talk about the count my vote process. We are now in 2016, presidential election year.
Yeah.
The entire Utah House of Representatives up for re-election.
January 4th is a big.
Is it a third of the Senate up?
No, half the Senate.
Okay, half the Senate up. And if you can go out there and get, what, 1,000 signatures?
So if you're a House member, 1,000
right.
signatures. In the Republicans, you have to only get it from Republicans.
Uh-huh.
In the Constitution Party, you have to only get it from Constitution Party members. But in the Democratic Party.
Just 1,000.
Just 1,000.
Of a registered voter.
Of registered
yeah.
voters.
Yeah.
Or if you're an independent, you can get 300 signatures and go right to the November ballot.
Senate.
Is that true?
Yes.
Senate 2,000.
Senate 2,000, same categories. If you want to be a U.S. House of Representatives, 7,500. If you want to run for a statewide office, senator or U.S. senator,
governor,
attorney general, et cetera, 28,500, something like that.
So this is, and you carried the legislation for this, Dan, so I'm just going to turn it over to you. But this is novel, right? I mean, for our state, because we've always had this process where you have to go through your convention to be on that primary ballot.
Yeah.
Now you can do it through signatures.
And it's amazing.
How positive is that? I'm smiling.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm with you, except for I really, and I think the governor is the same way. I don't think anybody anticipated the vitriolic reaction we've had from the Republican Party, so to speak, from the compromise.
Sure. Suing their leadership,
But that being said, right, I mean, this is a new path, and we're making history in a lot of ways, and I think the verdict is out yet whether or not this is a good path.
So Jonathan Johnson makes the choice.
He's only going convention.
Only going convention.
Mm-hmm.
And that's obviously a strategic choice on his part. Brian, how did you read that?
Well, I think it shows that Mr. Johnson looks at the delegates and says, this is my ticket. If I have a ticket
that's
to get in.
That's my bread and butter.
That's my bread and butter.
Nah.
I think that he recognizes
that
the delegates.
And don't you think he underestimates Herbert's popularity with the
delegates?
Well,
I think he just looks at cost.
Well, that's part of it. I think that's part of it, Dan.
He's but still funding this thing.
But I don't think the cost is the driver. I think the driver is my best shot at getting the votes that I need is from the most conservative group, and that's the delegates rather than the rank-and-file Republicans. He's running to the right of Gary Herbert. Everybody knows that. His greatest appeal is going to be with the delegates, not with a rank-and-file Republican voter in a primary.
Dan, you work with Governor Herbert quite a bit in the same party up on Capitol Hill. Is he a moderate or is he a conservative far-right guy?
Yeah, great question.
Thank you.
He
for asking
is
that
a
question,
very
Natalie.
Wise governor. I'll say that much.
Yeah,
it's tough. Honestly, I think being a governor is very, very difficult because the buck stops at the governor's desk on so many issues. It's harder
and you
to
have
take
to represent
a far
everybody.
Position. That's right.
Yeah. Right.
It's harder to take a farther out one way or the other position, and so you end up. I mean, every executive does this. They end up moderating towards the middle, which tends to make some on one side of the make some on both sides of the issue angry.
Natalie, let me tell you something. From now until the day of the Republican convention, you will not hear the word moderate come out of Gary Herbert's mouth. He won't be running as a moderate. He won't be talking about being a moderate. He's got he's got to do what he needs to do to deal with those Republican delegates who are more conservative than the average Utahn, much more conservative than the average
Utahn. Because
he does
not want to lose a convention.
That's right.
Even though, let's talk about this. What kind of bills do you think will pass this session and he might sign just because it's an election year?
Mm-hmm.
Natalie, you've worked in the office. Mm-hmm. You know what it's like to be pigeonholed in an election year.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the, quote, moderate candidate on whatever issue.
That's right.
One place I predict, gun law.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the president's action this week on gun law, I anticipate that will be something where, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it,
it'll be a political issue. Yeah, that's unfortunate. But you may be right, Dan. You may be right because there's a lot of backlash on what the president came out with. Absolutely unfortunate, the backlash. I mean, the president came out with some really good things. If you want to talk about that, we can segue.
Let's do it. I mean, because
we're transitioning on
accident. What's interesting about it is that you know, President Obama is making a stand and saying, I'm acting on this.
Yeah.
And apparently some of the polling done locally says Utah voters are right
Absolutely.
With him.
Absolutely. Well, look, you look at what
76%.
Here's what he wants to do.
How often is Utah aligned with Obama?
Yeah. Here's what he wants to do by executive order. He wants to expand the number of gun buyers who are subject to criminal background checks just by clarifying existing law. This is not passing any new initiative. He wants to hire more personnel to process background checks. He wants to direct individuals to conduct more gun research, encourage more domestic violence prosecutions, and order better tracking of lost guns. Now, how can you be against that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've heard the talking points from our elected officials in the delegation. I just go, I don't know what you're reading that the president did, but nothing that you're saying reflects the actuality of what the president wants to do.
Dan, when I look at the next 10 years in the Utah economy, in our state, one of the least things I'm worried about is guns.
Well, except Browning is an important company here to the state of Utah and Morgan. I'm just kidding. I understand.
I mean,
I understand.
I'm just not.
I almost kept
bring it up
face,
because I don't want to see a legislature spend an inordinate amount of time on this when what we really want them talking about is cleaning up our air, helping with homeless services, you know, modernizing our tax system. So it's.
But all of those things will get their time. I mean,
I hope so.
I don't think it's an either or proposition. I think all of those issues, specifically, you know, all the ones you mentioned, I think they will all get their time. It's unfortunate in election year, some issues will get more airplay than they may deserve. But I think, and this is, you know, a tribute to what we do at the state, at least we'll have a process. At least it will be, you know, at least there will be bills passed. People will have input. It won't just be one person in one department saying this is how it is. And so and I think that's a tribute, really, to how we do things in Utah, to the minority leader's point earlier. I think that it is important for everyone to recognize our state works. And even when you want to talk about our economy.
I raise my hand on that.
Yeah, I think that's true.
We work. And so people want to, you know, okay, we're going to talk about gun rights or that kind of thing. And we do it every year. I mean, Brian knows this. But I will say we work. And there's no question, at March 10th at 11:59, the bell tolls, and hopefully we will have gotten all of that stuff done at the same time.
Yeah.
And the important issues will have percolated to that.
You've made me feel better. You've made me feel better.
Don't be so worried.
One more gun issue. What is this legislation that Senator Wyler's talking about, doing a pilot program on gun safety where they would actually help eighth graders with shooting and the like? What's motivating this?
I think it's a great idea. So, and the reason I say this is because I check when my kids go over to somebody's house. I say, hey, do you got guns? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, are they secured? Because, you know, it wasn't that long ago in South Jordan, the district just north of mine, where two young kids, both age 12 years old, both would have been in eighth grade, both would have potentially had training. One accidentally shot the other one and didn't know what to do.
Just painful.
And so he shot himself because he didn't know what to do, right? He was just like so sad or so distraught about the whole issue. I think those kinds of issues can be prevented. And if parents want to opt in to get better training because of the number of guns we have in society, or especially in Utah, I don't think it's a bad thing. Should
what
it be
about
mandated?
Pairing it with fewer guns?
Well, that's I was just going to say. I think the devil's in the details in terms of what the training is. I mean, if you're talking about basic responsible gun safety issues, like here's how you secure a gun, here's what you do when you come across an unsecured weapon, you know, that kind of thing, I don't have a problem with at all. I think those are good things.
You just don't want it to be target practice.
Yeah. I mean, if the idea is we want to encourage and promote gun ownership and gun use, I think that that's a little more controversial. I think gun safety issues are important and that we ought to get information.
That's the key to the bill.
Yeah.
That is the key to the bill. As the House sponsor, I'll tell you that's the key to the bill.
Well, and that's what I would expect from Senator Wyler. So, and the same from you.
Yeah. And I think everyone, you know, everybody reacts to one thing or another. But I think, you know, you want to couple it with less guns or that kind of thing. Fine. But realize the best gun salesman in the country right now is President Obama.
Yeah.
Bless his heart.
You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm Natalie Gochner. I'm joined by Brian King and by Dan McKay, both in the Utah House of Representatives. One quick thing before we go on to another topic. Can either of you give us just a tiny bit of a preview of what we think is going to happen this session? And Dan, I'll start with you just so that the minority leader can be thinking about what he wants to say from the left. But what do you think will characterize the upcoming session?
Sleepy beginning, crazy middle, and budget fight at the end.
Okay.
That's in other words, what happens every session. In other words,
business as usual.
Yeah, business. Well, I think there are going to be some interesting issues. I think guns may very well be an issue, as Dan says, because especially with what we've seen from the president's announcement this week in terms of executive action, there may be some people motivated to go there. I think we're going to be, see some reproductive rights issues.
Mm-hmm.
I think this Planned Parenthood thing that the governor opened the door on with his action earlier, or rather later in August or September, whenever it was last year. I think that has prompted some action and will prompt some action. I think we're going to see education issues. I think we're going to see some clean air issues. There'll obviously be a lot of economic development issues. My friend, who is the chair of the House Tax Revenue and Taxation Committee, Representative McKay, I think will see some action in terms of taxation issues. And I think we'll see definitely SB 54 stuff.
Uh-huh. This is count my vote.
I won't be surprised. I don't think it passes, but I won't be surprised if there's a repealer this year. Nobody said anything to
me. Of SB 54, you mean?
Of SB 54.
Really?
That somebody is going to try and advance that. There, now, it's happened in the previous session as well. People, try to do things. I don't know if it gets any farther this time, but there is a new group of rabble-rousers that weren't part of the Senate Bill 54 conversation originally, and they all came through the caucus convention system, and they would all like to see it go away.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
anyway.
You may be right about that.
So unless I didn't hear right, neither of you mentioned homeless services, and I just wanted to ask about that because I think that's a ripe issue for some involvement.
I think that's a bit of a sleeper right now in the sense that I haven't heard, and maybe Dan has heard differently, but I haven't heard people coming to us at the legislature saying, here's what we're thinking of. There's obviously action that's occurred since the last session in the form of the task force recommendations.
There's certainly need.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's need and there's concern. And there needs to be state involvement. I mean, this is predominantly, I think, seen as a Salt Lake City issue. It's not solely that. But
my daughter was here for the holidays, lives in Boston. A friend of hers came, stayed at the hotel that's right by Pioneer Park. Was outside of the hotel and saw all the activity on the street down by the homeless shelters and thought it was an outdoor market.
Yeah.
And wandered over there.
Yeah, yeah. Not exactly the outdoor market.
Yeah, that a visitor from Boston has to experience that. We need to do better.
So I think there needs to be a funding piece on this.
True. All I'll say is, and while it is an important initiative, it's a $20 million initiative with a, almost $15 billion budget. So I'm not sure, candidly, where that rises and falls on, on
of all the things
the total
perspective,
but I certainly know it will be talked about. The speaker said he wants to make it a priority, and I think everybody's on board with that.
It'll be interesting. We'll have to do it maybe one of our next shows, but certainly Governor Herbert's prepared to talk about all this because he has his State of the State coming right around the corner. Well, it's time for us.
We should do a scorecard. When was the last time the State of the State actually passed anything? But that's a whole nother thing. Sorry. If you go through last year's State of the State and checked off the things that were actually done as a result of it.
It's a short list?
It is a very, very short list.
You may be right. I don't know off the top of my head.
And yet
I can't remember
anything.
There's
no intra-party challenger.
Yeah. Interesting, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Brian, time for gripes.
Okay.
Let's hear what you want to
Well,
gripe
my gripe
about.
Is this. We've got New Year's resolutions now. I mean, we've all just gone through this process to the extent any of us do them at all. But, I like to do New Year's resolutions. But my gripe is this. The legislative session, Dan, you've got to be with me on this. The legislative session makes the making and keeping of New Year's resolutions almost entirely futile. I mean, whether it's reduction of cursing, whether it's losing weight, whether it's trying to keep from being despondent. I mean, anger management issues. It doesn't matter what resolution you want.
Continually productive.
Two sessions
kind.
Ago, I lost 25 pounds. I didn't swear at anyone except for Brian King.
He did swear at me. I remember.
And anyway, sorry. Just giving him a hard time. He's absolutely right.
And you did lose weight during the last session or two.
That's right.
You got a gripe, Dan.
Well, I'm mad at my body. And I think this will be, everybody understands this, right?
A lot of people are mad at your body.
I turn 42 in the coming weeks here, and I'm a
young
pretty excited about
that.
Look
at his gray hair now.
Yeah.
Come on.
So, but I love the sport of hockey and have played hockey most of my growing up years. And I went and put on skates and played hockey again the other day.
Oh.
And I got an elbow to the face in that process. And if you can't hear it on the radio, I have braces on. And it has just torn up the inside of my mouth.
Oh,
and so, anyways, That's my gripe today.
You're getting old.
Is I'm getting older.
Well, listen, Natalie and I have got you beat, buddy. So quit whining because
but
older
you guys
gets
still
worse.
Have your looks.
I did over the holidays go to an NHL game in Phoenix. Went and saw the Coyotes play the LA Kings. It was my first NHL game.
Never been to an NHL game.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Was it fun?
Yeah, it was. Because I'm a soccer nut, I could kind of follow it. You know.
By the way, we didn't talk about any of your predictions that you made in the Des News, but we should have because I have a beef with a few of those. So that'll be a second gripe.
We can do that later. Hey, I get to do a little gripe, and mine's sort of more memorial, but I was thinking about how we lost a lot of important people in the past year.
Yeah.
Becky Lockhart, Aline Walker.
Yeah.
I think Norm Bangerter, didn't we, in the last year? Randy Horiuchi.
Randy, yeah.
And it was a reminder looking forward that, you know, we're going to lose some more good people in this community in the coming year. And I know that's a sober thing to end a program on. But
like who?
I don't know.
Oh,
that's the point. The point, though, is that we need to honor and love people because we lose good people every year. So that's not really a gripe, but.
See, my gripe is always this petty thing, and Natalie always comes up with some heart-wrenching,
she's a
touching thing.
She's above us politicians.
That's not true. But it just reminded me, you know, that we work in a business that there's a lot of public policy issues going back and forth, but really this is public service.
Yeah.
A lot of great people.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm Natalie Gochner. I represent the Political Center. I've been joined by Dan McKay and Brian King. The program is produced by Ross Chambliss. Thanks for listening.